Luke chapter 10. Amen. Just felt this in prayer this week, and just want to give you what I feel like the Lord gave to me. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Everybody said, one thing is needful. Just one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. I feel like the Lord has come into this place here this morning, at least in one instance anyhow, to confirm to me what I'm getting ready to preach here this morning. Because we're not here for a program. We shouldn't be coming for a program. Not here today to see anybody or whatever, to talk to someone about this, that, or the other. Amen. But when I come to the house of God, my focus is Him. My focus is Him. Amen. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. And I want to preach about that this morning for a little bit. Will you help me this morning? Let's pray and ask for the help of the Lord today. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the touch of the Holy Ghost this morning. I thank you for your presence that we feel here today. Anoint the Word of God. Let it find its mark in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. 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 You can be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. Just wanted to start off here this morning by saying the obvious to each and every one of us. And that is that it is very easy for you and I to get sidetracked. Very few people in our world, as far as that is concerned, have the ability to focus on something for an extended period of time. We see that in our society. We see that in other societies as well. The ones who do and are able to focus on something passionately for a lengthy period of time, or I guess we could say for a lifetime, are those that have that are impassioned by something that they love dearly, or by something that they feel is a calling in their life. And I'm not necessarily even speaking of spiritual things. We see in our world of people that have a passion and they live out their passion. They love what they do. They wake up in the morning. They think about it. They can't wait to get involved in it. Those are people that are in the minority. Because as humans, we tend to forget. Amen. As humans, we tend to slack up and we tend to give in to pressure and frustration. We tend to back off when difficulties arise. We're all there. I'm with you here this morning. There are many things that we could attribute to this situation that all of us face here today. But let's just agree that we're all tempted to get sidetracked and distracted by the things that are going on in our life. Amen. All of us are. And none of us are free from this struggle that we find ourselves in. And so we come to the story here this morning. I want to take just a little bit of time, if you will indulge me here this morning, to give you my version of this story and what I think is taking place here. We read from the Gospel of Luke this classic example of this fact that I'm talking about here today of losing sight of the goal and the things that are most important. The Bible says that as he passed by, they went and he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And as I began to think about Martha, Martha probably has been criticized by a lot of different preachers over the years of her lack of ability to sense the presence of Jesus and all of those things. And yet I want to try to paint a picture of this woman this morning that you and I will fit into, that hopefully we will fit into here this morning, because we can tell some things about this woman just by this very short story in the Word of God. I believe this morning that Martha was a great woman. I believe that Martha was a woman that had fortitude and principles in her life. And we can tell that by the very fact that she was concerned that everything that she did was right. That is a tremendous quality that she possessed, and a quality that you and I need to possess in our lives. And she was a hardworking and an industrious woman. She kept her house ready at all times for unexpected guests to come by. We know that because as he came, and it came to pass as they went, they didn't have, years ago they had pagers. And the pager would go off and you'd make a phone call. Now we've got cell phones. We've got calendars on our cell phone and it'll alert you. Jesus is coming at 10 o'clock this morning. Make sure you get ready for his coming. They didn't have that back in those days. They didn't have that kind of form of communication. It was very slow, and oftentimes it was not existent at all. And there was... in this particular day and time, there was no chance for knowing if somebody was coming by. They just simply came by. I was in Bible study this week, and my Mexican friend told me that in the village where he lives, in many parts of Mexico, that you don't call ahead and say, is it all right if I come by and visit a little bit? He said, you just go to their house and knock on their door. And he said, more than that, he said, if you're a friend, you just open the door and walk in. And I thought, wow, now that's a little bit different. And I didn't realize that's the way it was there, but I'm sure in a lot of countries, a lot of third world countries, it's that way. And it was that way here in the time of Jesus Christ. A friend doesn't call. He just simply goes by. He knocks on the door and goes in. And if you're concerned like Martha, you're going to be constantly checking your house. And if your kids come in and throw their shoes off to the side, you're very quick to say, pick those shoes up and put them in your closet, and put your socks away, and whatever. And you tell your husband, put your shoes away, and whatever the case is. If something, if there were some dirty dishes in the sink, Martha was the one that would get those taken care of, because she didn't know if somebody was going to come by. And so I see here a quality in Martha that she was diligent and she was very faithful. She was a woman who knew what to do when guests came over. And so she had some manners about her. She had some etiquette about her. She knew how to set the table, as it were. She knew how to serve and to prepare especially on the spur of the moment. And so in order to do that, you don't wait till somebody comes. You have some things in the pantry. You have some things that you could put together, and you're not just waiting. That was the kind of woman that Martha was. Martha was a good woman. Amen. And I believe that she was a godly woman, and it was represented in her quality as an individual. Much good here this morning could be and have been said about Martha. The good qualities were a priority to her, and she always put them to the forefront of her life. I hope I'm painting a little bit of a picture of how I feel about this lady here. She felt good about herself when the job was well done, and she got a good feeling in her heart, a warm feeling inside when she received compliments. Oh, that was wonderful. That was a great meal. I really appreciate that. And can I just give us a side note here this morning? Is it all right? Amen. It's so easy to take the cook for granted and just sit down and eat your meal and go your way. But I think what we ought to do is say thank you for that wonderful meal. Well, praise the Lord. Because, you know, when somebody does something really good, it looks easy. But that doesn't mean that it's necessarily easy. Amen. And some folks just do things really well, but that doesn't mean that it's not a big deal to them. The reason people do things well is because they are concerned and they want to make sure that their product, if you please, is good and everybody feels good about it and likes it. Anybody feel that way this morning? Nobody wants to do your work on the job and somebody come by and say, that was a lousy job. That makes you feel bad. But when someone comes by and says, man, you're doing a wonderful job, it makes you feel good, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. We ought to praise one another for the things that we do for one another. I believe that Martha was loved by her family. I believe that she was loved by her friends because of the person that she was. Jesus went by her house because he felt comfortable there. And he knew that he could get a good meal there and that she was ready and that she would do this for him. And so I believe that Martha was loved by her family and her friends because of what she did. And she did it out of a sense of loyalty. I believe she did it out of a sense of duty. I believe she did it out of a sense of charity. Amen. And when you begin to look at these qualities, we can see real quickly that she was a very good person. That Martha, I would say, was a great person. Amen. I'm not going to criticize her this morning. But I want to take in the whole picture here today and try to help us to see the will of God and give us a little nugget of truth here this morning. I believe that we would all do well to be like Martha in that sense and to see the great value of the attitudes that Martha possessed and do our best to model ourselves after her. Praise God. Virtues like temperance and love. Virtues like long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and meekness. Amen. Were qualities that I believe Martha possessed. I don't think she just threw this thing together. I read in the scriptures and I can kind of see behind the scenes here a little bit just by the wording that is used in the scripture. And I believe that we would all do well to use this as an example in our life and in what we do for others, that we don't just throw it together, but we do our best when we do something. Whatever you find in your hand, do it with your might. Amen. Put your heart in it. Love it with everything that's within you. Do the best that you can do. Amen. And it might just be that Jesus will come by your house. Praise God. And so we read there in Luke chapter 10 and verse 40. let me just go back just a minute here. Because if we look at all of these qualities and we see those qualities in her and the importance of those qualities and how they are or were in her life a tremendous blessing to others, when we can see that, then we will practice those things. So it is no surprise that when we read of her worry and of her carefulness, in making sure that everything goes well, now I think we got a little better understanding why she was so concerned. It wasn't that she had an attitude problem here. It wasn't that she needed to get straightened out by the Lord. No, there were just some qualities in her that had a tendency to get her sidetracked at times. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you can overdo some things. Sometimes you can be too careful. Now, I don't want to say that to mean that you got to be careless or not worried about situations, but it was an obvious one here. Here was the master sitting in their house, and she was worried about the things of this world. And I understand why. That's not a criticism. Luke chapter 10 and verse 40, it says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving." I think it's interesting here that that word cumbered is the only place in the entire Bible where that word is found. Amen. There's no other place in the Old Testament or New Testament where that word cumbered is actually found. The Bible says she was cumbered about much serving. Amen. And that word cumbered, it means to drag all around or like a ball and a chain. Amen. And so she was cumbered about much serving. And so here she is, very careful, very consistent, wanting to make sure that everybody's food is hot. And so serving, it's wonderful when you go to a place and there's a large group of you and they serve everybody at the same time and everybody's hot. All the food is hot and everybody gets what they ordered. I look at that and I say, wow, somebody's doing their job. Somebody needs to get paid well here. This is good. This is awesome. You don't usually see that. If I were a waiter or if I did that for a living, and I'm not saying I know everything about waiting, but ministry, the word minister in the scriptures means a servant that waits on tables. Amen. They help others. And if I were a waiter, I would count the times I had to say, "I'm sorry." And I would try to reduce that number so that I wouldn't have to say, "I'm sorry." But I would get a compliment from those that I was serving that say, "You did a good job. Thank you very much. We're very blessed by what you did." Amen. And that makes you want to go even more after it. Praise God. As they say, it make a puppy pull a freight train. Praise God. You'll really get in and do a good job if somebody will encourage you in sincerity. And so she was cumbered about much serving. To her, it was a ball and chain. Not in a bad sense, but it just became overwhelming. It came to the place where, I better run back in the kitchen or I'm going to burn the beans. Amen. And so she stirs the beans, and then she realizes, oh, I haven't put this other on the stove yet, and it's not going to be warm in time. And all of a sudden, she gets into this mode of, you know, I'm not sure I can do this all by myself. I'm overwhelmed by this situation. Have you ever been that way in life where you're overwhelmed by your situations? You feel like it's a ball and a chain that you're dragging along, and you're cumbered about many, many things. I got a sense here this morning that we've all been there. Most of us have been there. Amen. And you get frustrated because of that. I'm going to get into that here in just a minute. But on the other hand, now we have Mary, and much is said about Mary. Oh, don't worry about anything. Just sit at the feet of Jesus and pray and talk in tongues and worship, and you don't have to worry about going and getting a job. You don't have to worry about any stress in your life. I'm just going to float along and serve the Lord. Hey, listen, I've seen folks like that. Amen. We don't have anybody like that here this morning, I'm sure. Nothing is more important than what I'm doing. I think Mary has gotten a little bit of overkill here. I think that Mary was a good woman as well, and I've got a feeling that she was of the same mindset as Martha. I really do. I believe that Martha knew how to serve, because I read there in verse 40, she came to the Lord and said, don't you care that my sister hath left me alone to serve? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Well, if Mary was not a good helper, she would have never said that. If Mary didn't know what was going on in the kitchen and acted like a china doll of some sort and couldn't get her fingers dirty, Martha would have said, you're going to be more trouble than you're worth. Just stay out there. I'll take care of it. Amen. But she didn't say that. She said, Lord, would you tell this young lady, this sister of mine? I don't know if she was older or younger. We get a sense that maybe she was younger and maybe more immature, but I don't know about that. I think she was of the same mindset as Martha. She knew how to serve because Martha said so. She knew how to help, and it was obvious that it wasn't her first dinner that she was going to help with. She had done it before. She had provided meals before. Maybe even when Martha wasn't home, she had done it herself. And we know this because the young ladies of that day, they were all taught how to cook, and they were all taught how to do those things. Even the young men were taught how to serve and to help out when guests come by. And so if we were to put Martha and Mary side by side, I don't think there would be a lot of difference. I think they'd both be able to make a meal and serve it to their guests. Amen. Both had that ability and experience to do a good job. I believe they both wanted to do a good job. I believe they both had godly qualities, obviously, because Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. She had an interest in the things of God. And when you're interested in the things of God, you're interested in things like righteousness. You're interested in things like doing a good job. Oh, come on, somebody help me this morning. Amen. You're interested in those things. When you have a spiritual mindset, amen, you don't tend to be lazy. Amen. You don't tend to slough off and back off and from your obligations and from doing it right. Amen. If you've got a mindset after God, you will develop those things in your life. Praise God. It's one of the great things about serving the Lord. He betters your life. He changes the way you think about things. Amen. He puts something down in your heart to be the best that you can be. Because when you begin to turn your eyes toward the Lord, you're turning your eyes toward eternity. And my friend, when you're standing on this terra firma of earth and you realize that it is temporary and I'm heading on a journey to eternity, there will come a time in your life when all of a sudden you'll come to yourself and you'll say, I better get busy and do something with my life because I don't have much time left. I don't have much time, period. Amen. This life is very, very short. Anybody else feel that way this morning? So I'm going to pay my bills on time. Is it all right this morning? I'm going to pay my bills on time. Amen. I'm going to follow through with my obligations. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And if I can't do it, I go tell them I can't do this. I'm sorry. And so we develop character. We develop qualities, amen, that are solid. We develop qualities that are not going to depend on somebody else to do it. But I'm going to shoulder the burden for myself. I read in the scriptures the other day, and it says, every man shall bear his own burden. Praise God. And I thought about that, and I said, Lord, forgive me for complaining in my heart. Amen. I'm going to bear my own burdens, and I'm going to smile about it. Praise God. Because this is my life. It's not somebody else's life. Amen. You don't have to take care of my life. I can take care of my own life. Well, is that all right this morning? We need help from one another, and we all need help from time to time. But I'm telling you, it's an attitude that I'm talking about here this morning. Praise God. That's the attitude that Martha had, and I believe this morning it was the attitude that Mary had. She was trustworthy. Amen. She was a godly woman, just like her sister. And both of them had the ability. They were faithful. They were hardworking people, as were most of and probably all of the people of their time. But there's a difference here, as we can see. There was obviously a conflict here, a little bit of a conflict. And I want to look at it because Scripture only records this time that I can see, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but that this was the only time that Jesus was going to come into their house. It was a one-time opportunity. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Jesus is coming to my house. He's coming to my house. He's coming to our house. And it was a one-of-a-kind or a one-of-a-time, one-time situation. And so this would be a one-time opportunity to sit at the feet of the Lord and to hear His words. And while He was speaking, Mary made a decision. She knew what she was supposed to do in the kitchen. She knew that her sister was going to need help. But you know what? There's just times that your desire overwhelms your knowledge, so to speak. Right. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, putting cookies in a cookie jar when you got little kids in the house and saying, don't get those cookies, and then walk away, and they're standing there looking at the cookie jar. And they're thinking in their mind, can I get that lid open and take that? I know I'm supposed to mind my mother. I know I'm supposed to do what Daddy says. But just this desire is overwhelming me here. Those snickerdoodles in there are so chewy and sweet, and the cinnamon taste, I can smell it right now. Oh, Lord, help us. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all are looking at me strange this morning. Don't look at me that way. You adults do it, and you know you do. Amen. You know you got to be somewhere, but you're passing by a place, and it says hot. And you know you're supposed to be there somewhere else, but something just magnetically begins to pull your steering wheel in that direction. And before you know it, you're sitting there and you hear the voice, "Can I help you today, sir?" "Yeah, I'd like a half a dozen of those, please. And I think I can get rid of them before anybody knows what I've done." And so here's Jesus in the house. Mary has to make a decision. Martha's already made her decision. She's going to follow through with her preparations and so forth. She's going to make sure that protocol is followed. But Mary makes a decision. It's not that she didn't want to help her sister. It isn't that she didn't care about dinner or serving everybody. I hope y'all are going to stay with me here. I'm going to move through some things here that I think are going to be very helpful to us. She had to make a decision here. I've only got one opportunity. I've only got one opportunity. And I'm going to lay aside some things. Amen. Now, what did Martha have that was holding her back? She was cumbered about many things. She was worried about many things. She was fearful of many things. There were things in this particular situation that aggravated her. There were some things here that she was concerned about. Is there going to be enough food for everybody? And so she took those things and began to focus on those things. She was afraid. She was concerned. She was aggravated. And she was fearful that there would not be enough food. And Mary probably thought, she probably didn't analyze it as much as Martha did. But she said, "You know what? This is a once in a lifetime. And I can apologize later. And I can say I'm sorry later. But I just got to get my hand in this cookie jar. It's better to get forgiveness, easier to get forgiveness than permission sometimes. And so you got to make your choice. You've got to decide what you're going to do." And she decided, I've just got to sit down at his feet just for a minute, just for a second. I'm just going to take one bite. And as she sat down, Jesus began to speak. And as he began to speak, all of a sudden those things about the kitchen, all of those things about the things that her sister was, you know, you could hear her in there. And maybe as the frustration built, you could hear pans clanging a little bit louder on each other. You know, she wasn't saying anything, but she was trying to say it by, you know, it just, the noise in the kitchen just got louder and louder. And after a while, Mary didn't even hear all of that and wasn't thinking about those things. And I can just see her sitting. She was sitting on the floor at the feet of the Lord and just looking at his face. And listening, the Bible said she heard his words. Martha didn't hear his words. Doesn't mean she was a bad person. She just didn't hear his words. But Mary was hearing the words of Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. And her face was shining and her eyes were bright and they were open. And you could see different expressions on her face. Amen. Some folks say, "Did you see that during the service while you were preaching?" And most of the time I say, I don't see hardly anything while I'm preaching. When I'm teaching, sometimes I do. And there are times if I say something, all of a sudden I'll see a. And that means they're considering what I just said. And then there'll be other times when, and of course we won't go there, amen. And then other times when, oh, so we're connecting. Amen. And you can tell by facial expressions. I'm sure there were many facial expressions. Women have more facial expressions than men do. I'm not putting down the gender at all, but I think it's incredible. I look sometimes at ladies that are talking, and most of the time they're like, "I can't do it. I don't have the muscles in my face." Their eyes go this way and that way and over and down, and their lips and their face and everything just kind of, I mean, it's animated. It's not, they're not just giving out information. They are literally connected to the person that they're talking to. You know what I'm talking about this morning? It's just incredible. God wired women differently that way. Us guys, you know, we can walk by each other and we go like this. And that's all we got to say. How's it going? And then when he goes like that, everything's going okay. Well, that's the end of the conversation. That's all we need to know. But no, not with the lady folks. No. If they walk up to a stranger within 30 seconds, they got their phone number and they know where they live. And they know an awful lot about their life already. Well, that's just the way it is. Right. Okay, I'm connecting with the front row here this morning. Praise God. And Mary was sitting at his feet, and you could just see the facial expressions. Wow. Without saying a word, Jesus could tell. She was soaking it in. She was drawing it in. She was getting a hold of it. And in the background, the noise of banging pans and silverware and all of this and an occasional from the kitchen just kind of passed her. It wasn't that she was unconcerned. It was just that she was mesmerized in the presence of Jesus Christ. And finally, she couldn't take any more. She couldn't take it anymore. And Martha got so distracted, as it is with all of us. Somebody said amen. She couldn't take any more. And finally, she comes storming out of the kitchen. And you could see the Italian sauce that was splashed on her apron because she was frustrated, and when she was stirring it, it got a little bit too carried away, and that just added to her frustration. You could see that her hair wasn't fixed the way it was when he first came, and there was sweat on her forehead, and you could see when she comes walking out and her arms are crossed. Amen. You know, body language tells an awful lot, and she came out there and she said, she just interrupted the Lord. She just interrupted him. And she came out and she said, Lord, dost thou not care that I'm working so hard here and everybody else is just having a good old time? I think I'm connecting here this morning. With some of us, I think I'm connecting here this morning. I feel the Lord here this morning. Amen. She couldn't take any more. She lashed out at the other person who was enjoying the moment, sitting quietly at the feet of the Lord, and laid the blame at the feet of Jesus. Lord, don't you care? I'm working so hard, and she's just sitting there not doing anything. Lord, would you just please tell her to get up and come back in the kitchen and help me. Praise the Lord. And maybe this is going to change our concept of serving God and living for God. But you know what, folks? Living for God is not all just doing things for God. Working for the Lord and living for the Lord is not a performance situation. It is, to a point. Thank God for good cooks. Amen. Last thing I want to do this morning is upset any cooks. Amen. You don't want to have burnt toast in the morning. Praise God. You want to have it all just right. So praise the cook. Amen. If you're smart, you'll praise the cook. And mean it when you say it too, because they can tell if you mean it or not. Jesus responded. He didn't criticize her because he was smart enough to know you don't upset the cook. He hadn't eaten yet. And so he responded with tenderness because he knew at this point she was frustrated with doing a good job. Amen. And I think right here is a good time to bring out something. And I'm hurrying here. I know it doesn't seem like it. But folks, we can become weary with well-doing if we're not careful. Amen. Because sometimes it doesn't seem to matter. Come on. What I do doesn't seem to matter. It's not worth the effort. The only way I know to stay excited and energized to do the work of God is to have a Martha focus and a Mary focus. I'm going to incorporate both of these here this morning. I'm not advocating that somebody just stop working for God, stop giving to God, lay aside all of those things that are making you weary in serving the Lord, and lay those things. No, we've got to have the attitude of Martha, and we've got to have the attitude of Mary at the same time. Praise God. He told her, her focus and Mary's focus are the things that we need to look at here. If all you do is work for God and you never stop and sit at His feet, you're going to get burned out. But if all you do is sit at His feet and worship and you're not willing to do anything, that's going to grow old and you're not going to be excited about it at some point in the future. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Doing some teaching here this morning, and this is good for us. It's good for me. Amen. I'll tell you what, we've got to be in the kitchen. Amen. We've got to be in the kitchen. We've got to prepare a meal. We've got to serve. Amen. And when we serve the Lord, but we serve others. Amen. We serve others. If they will allow us to, we will serve them, and we will help them, and we will pray for them. And we will reach out to them, and we will invite them. Amen. We will do our very best that when they come into our house, amen, that the presentation is good. You know, they say don't just throw food on the plate, but decorate it up. Colors are important when it comes to eating as well. And a good chef knows that. And they're trained in those areas. Don't eat your little green parsley on your plate. That's not there to be eaten. It's just there to decorate your plate. That's all it's there for. It's just for the color. Amen. And to make things look good. And if you go to a fancy restaurant, that's what they will do for you. Amen. We've got to do the very best that we can. Somebody help me this morning. We got to keep our church clean, amen. We're not going to leave tissues on the pews. We're not going to leave trash in the pews. We're not going to leave it looking undone and unkept. Why? Because I'm telling you, we're here to serve one another. Praise the Lord. We're here to do the very best job that we can do. We're going to clean up the outside of the church. We're going to keep it looking nice. Amen. We're going to work hard and we're going to pay our bills. Amen. You can look this town over, and we've been here 24 years. There's not one person that we owe a dime to in this town. And if we did in the past owe anybody, I'm saying anybody tonight or this morning, if we owed anybody any money, we always paid them and we paid them on time. Amen. I think maybe there might have been one month that I was late on a payment, and it was simply because of some disasters that had taken place in my life, and I missed it one time out of 24 years. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, there was a day that I had to learn this for myself. When we work for God, we've got to be the best that we can be. There was a day that I did not have good credit. I didn't shirk any of my bills, but I was just late on my bills all the time. And this is back way, way back in my foolish young years. And finally the day came, and I said, you know what? If I can be late, I can be early. I'll just figure out how to do the same thing, only reverse it. And so I started paying my bills on time. And from that time until now, I pay my bills. Amen. You need to pay your bills and pay your bills on time. I don't know why I didn't get a good amen there, but I'm telling you, it's the will of God to pay your bills and to pay them on time. That's not my message this morning, but it is in a sense of the word, because we're serving others. We're following through with our commitments. Amen. What we say we're going to do, we do. When we make a covenant with someone, we obey and we follow through with that covenant. Amen. When I rented a place, I always left it cleaner than when I found it. Well, praise God. Why? Because I am serving others. Amen. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. I'm serving others. That's what it means to serve the Lord. Well, am I going to get anything out of this? Oh, listen, God provides so many wonderful things when you get involved with Him. Amen. And we've got to get into the kitchen, but we've got to sit at the feet of Jesus as well. And I think the reason that she was not able to sit at His feet is because she was cumbered about so many things in her mind. Is there enough food? Is there going to be enough? Am I going to be able to figure this out? How's this all going to come out? I want to make sure that it's right. And if she would have sat down at the feet of Jesus, she would have been impatient and she would have been thinking in her mind, did I get everything? Is everything okay? How's this all going to work out? And before it was all over with, she would not have had a good time in the presence of the Lord. Let me show you something here this morning. And I'm going to finish here in just a few minutes, but Psalm chapter 23, you know that psalm, right? Psalm of David, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Amen. I was reading in a book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalms 23 by Philip Keller. And Philip Keller, I loaned someone another book written by him, but this particular book here, I've read it before, but something came out to me as I was reading, and it fit perfectly with this here this morning. And I just want to read you a little clip out of the book so that you can get an idea of what I'm talking about here. Philip Keller was an actual shepherd himself, and he was a shepherd of sheep, and he knew everything about the sheep, what was good for them, what was not good for them, and so forth. And I didn't realize, but sheep will not lay down. David said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep will refuse to lay down unless there are four things that are met in their life. And it says this, I'm going to read it verbatim. Owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they are free of all fear. And because of the social behavior within a flock, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction with others of their kind. They will not lay down if tormented by flies or parasites. And lastly, the sheep will not lie down as long as they feel in the need of finding food. They must be free from hunger. They must be free from tension, aggravation, fear, and hunger. Amen. Now, does that apply to us? We are the sheep of His pasture. God reckoned you and I as sheep. And I've battled with this, and I've thought about this in my own life. Why is it when I go to God in prayer, it's so difficult to touch the Lord and to get into His presence? Why is it that when we come together in the house of God that we have to work so hard, amen, to get into the presence of God, to where we can worship and we can forget about all those other things and worship the Lord? It's because we are easily distracted. But if we understand this morning about these distractions, we can get rid of those in their proper time. Amen. These things are going to be a part of life. Amen. Fear is going to be a part of life. Hunger or the fear of hunger is going to be a part of life. Amen. Finding food is going to be a part of life. Amen. Tormented by aggravations is going to be a part of life. Amen. Having conflict or friction with other people is going to be a part of life. You're going to have to get in the kitchen. You got to get in the kitchen where all these things reside. Amen. We can't build a fence around the church and barricade ourselves from the world. We've got to go out in the world and face these things. But how do we do that? And how do then we come to the place where we can get into the presence of God and lay those things aside for a little while and go to a heavenly place? Praise God. I believe there's something in this here this morning that will help us. Amen. Because when the sheep are free of these things, they can lay down and rest. Amen. I see many, many today that are not peaceful in their spirit. Amen. And if you're not peaceful on the inside, consider any of these things and what you can do to deal with it personally. Amen. There's only one thing that is needful here in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I can't lay down unless I'm in the presence of the shepherd. Amen. He is the Prince of Peace. That would be the opposite of fear. He is the bread of life. That is freedom from hunger. Amen. He has overcome the world and all of their parasites and sicknesses and aggravations. Amen. He got the victory over stress. Amen. He did it all. I need to be in the presence of my shepherd. One thing is needful. Praise God. Martha, one thing is needful in your life. Don't get rid of those other things. Don't stop working. Don't stop laboring. Don't stop with your attitude of doing things right. And all of that, they both got to go together, folks. But you can't have one without the other. We can't get so consumed with the things of this world and the cares of this life and forget to get into the presence of God. Amen. Because after a while, we're going to get weary, spiritually weary. And we're not going to be able to lay down spiritually at His feet and say, Master, touch me one more time. Help me one more time. And lift us up out of those burdens for a little while. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. I find myself thinking about all the things that are before me when I go to God in prayer. How many others here this morning go through that? There's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and the rest of you are not telling the truth. Amen. You know why? I can get in prayer, and I haven't contacted the shepherd of my soul. Amen. It's because I'm still in the kitchen. There's time to undo the apron, roll it up, put it aside, walk out of the kitchen, shut the lights off, turn the oven off. Amen. Get rid of all of that. There's a time to punch out on the clock. There's a time to just leave it all behind. And if it all goes to pot, well, it just goes to pot. Amen. I'll be back tomorrow and maybe we'll fix it and maybe we won't. Come on, somebody. You know I'm preaching to us here this morning. I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody else here this morning. Amen. I just felt like the Lord wants to touch us. Amen. And help us to diminish the intensity of the things that we must face in this life. Amen. I've got to spend quality time with Him. Well, praise God. I've got to spend quality time with my Savior. Amen. Because the further in time I go, the more I recognize the need, there's only one thing that really matters. Just one thing that really matters. And that's to get into the presence of God. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Genesis 15 and 1. You don't have to turn there. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, "Fear not." Why do you have to say that to Abram? Because he was afraid. He told Moses not to fear. He told Joshua not to fear. He told Mary not to fear. He told Joseph not to fear. He told Gideon not to fear. And we look at those folks and say, if I could just be like them, everything would be all right. Well, I've got good news for you this morning. You are just like them. And you're facing the same things that they faced. You're going through the same situations that they went through. Praise God. But I've got a shepherd this morning. The Lord is my shepherd this morning. Praise God. If I can just get to the shepherd, he'll lead me by the still waters. He'll take me in green pastures. He'll calm me down and help me to lie down and rest for a little while. It's not a run with God, it's a walk with God. Well, praise the Lord. I feel like shouting because I've got hope this morning. Amen. He gave manna to Israel, didn't he? They couldn't sit down and rest because they ran out of food. He fed 5,000 and more than that. How did he do it? They were in his presence. He healed them all in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus is my healer. How did he do that? They were in his presence. Or somebody came into his presence on their behalf. Beloved, let us love one another. How can we do this? The only way I know is to get into his presence. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. All right, back to the story. Martha, you're careful about many things, but one thing is needful. Sit at my feet. Amen. It's not about doing things, it's about being things. It's not about accomplishment only, but it's about relationship. Praise God. There's a difference in prayer and just walking around looking disconnected. I'm not just going to come. No, that's not prayer. Tell you what prayer is. Prayer, real prayer, is when you get in the presence of God and you forget about the bills that you owe and you forget about all the things that's got to be done here, things that are over here and the things that I'm facing. Amen. I'm beginning to learn in my older years that prayer is not necessarily going to God and asking God for things. I've really slacked up in asking God for things because I found that when I would go to God in prayer, that's all I did was ask him for things. Well, he said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, so forth. And so we're supposed to ask. Yes, that's a part of prayer. But the first part of prayer is, Our Father which art in heaven, holy is your name. And the last part of prayer is, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Starts out with in his presence, ends up in his presence with worship and praise. And I found that if I can just get into his presence, and I don't know if you think the pastor's going loony, that's all right. There's others that's thought that as well. But I like to walk. I don't always walk when I pray, but I'll walk. And lately, I've just been saying, God, would you let me feel your presence? And I'll be walking along and talking to the Lord and telling him how much I love him. And if all of a sudden I feel my presence, I just stop. And I lift my hands and I begin to talk to the Lord. Lord, I just want to be in your presence. If the presence of the Lord goes away, I just start walking again. And if I get over here and all of a sudden I feel the presence of the Lord, I just stop. God, I just want to feel after you. Where are you, God? I want to know where you are. I'm not here to go through a program. I'm seeking your face. I want to know where you're at, God. I've got to get a hold of you. I've got to touch you. Amen. And I'm not talking about our corporate prayer this morning. I'm talking about your private prayer time. I'm talking about you and God. Amen. You and God. Our corporate prayer and our corporate worship is a result of what we have done in the course of the week. I saw something the other day that disturbed me. It was just a little picture on the internet, and you see all sorts of things. But here they were in church somewhere, and there was three or four children with their cell phones, and they're playing games while the church service is going on. And I thought, dear God, help us. We're raising a generation of prayerless people. We're raising a generation that's more involved in thinking about what's going on in the kitchen than they are what's going on in the kingdom of God. We're only passing this way once, folks. We're only passing this way one time. We've got to get it right. Amen. We've got to serve God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. He's number one. I said He's number one this morning. Amen. Well, I just can't pray. Well, that's because you're in the kitchen. Jesus is in the other room. Amen. You got to get to where He's at. Praise God. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away. Oh, that doesn't mean that what Martha was doing was the bad part. That's not what that's saying. But she has chosen the good part, meaning she has those attitudes of being careful about things, but she also has that attitude, I can't go very far without being in the presence of Jesus. You got to be able to lay some things aside once in a while, regularly lay some things aside. You got to put them aside. You've got to stop what you're doing. Amen. Are you listening here this morning? You got to learn how to stop what you're doing and lay it all aside and just say, Lord, I want to get at your feet and I want to hear what you have to say to me. Amen. I've even heard of folks that color while the pastor's preaching, that do other things while the preaching of the Word of God is going on. I'm telling you what, folks, we're missing it big time if that's where we're headed. Amen. You got to lay some things out on the porch when you come into the house of God. I'm not bringing that in there with me. I'm not bringing anything in here that's going to disrupt my ability to lay down at His feet and hear what He has to say. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mary's chosen the good part. Amen. I choose the good stuff. I don't know about you. I'm not interested in the fluff and the noise. Amen. I want to touch Jesus. And then when I'm done touching Jesus, I can go into the kitchen, make a really good meal, and enjoy the best of both worlds. I'm not going to come in here and worry about my money, but when I'm done and I go out there, then I can start worrying about that. I can apply that to my life. I can work on those areas of my life. Are you all with me here this morning? Amen. I'm finishing. Sister Reed, would you come, please? Amen. We appreciate Sister Reed. We're praying for you, Sister Reed. And I look at Scripture, and it says to the young ruler, rich young ruler, he said, one thing is needful. To Judas Iscariot, there was only one thing that was needful. To Demas, who had forsaken Paul, only one thing was needful. There's times to set aside the things of this life and get refocused over and over and over and over again. There's an old song, it says, only one life, how soon it will pass. Only what's done for Jesus will last. We got to do things for God. We're going to be judged by our works. But then another song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If you don't stop and read your Bible, you're in trouble. If you don't stop and take time to pray, you're in trouble. If you don't learn the value of fasting and prayer until you find yourself in his presence, you're in trouble. You're headed down the road named distraction. You're headed down the road, and one day you're going to become so frustrated with the whole situation. And it's amazing. And I know that she was not blaming Jesus, but she got to the place where her frustration was so great that she said, "Lord, don't you care?" And when he said, "Martha, Martha," it wasn't a sharp rebuke. It was just a compassionate Savior that said, "Come on, Martha, let me show you something." In other words, what he was literally saying was, "Martha, why don't you come on out here and sit down with us? We'll have a good meal. We'll take care of that business. Come on, Martha. Come on and sit down beside your sister. I got a few more things to say before we eat." But there's no record that she did that. She got so embroiled and so caught up in the things of this life, she probably marched back into the kitchen because the beans are going to burn. Chicken's about done. Whatever. Can we stand together this morning? I feel like the Lord's just inviting us here today. Oh, we got time for all of these other things. God's given us so much time. 6 days out of the week. That's a lot of time. I don't know what 6 times 24 is. If we got any good mathematicians, you can come up with that answer pretty quick. Six times 24 hours. That's how much we've got in the course of the week. Amen. He says, "Just give me one day and I can get it all cleared out for you." Praise God. Praise God. I feel like the Lord's just calling, "Come on out of the kitchen. It's time to come out of the kitchen. Let's get in his presence. Let's get in his presence." We're not gonna pump everybody up till we're swinging off the chandeliers. We're just going to get in his presence. We're just going to talk to him till we can really feel him. Till everything is shut out and I can focus on him. One thing is needful. New Life Tabernacle, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. Can we just love him together this morning? Oh, yes. Thank you, young people. Come on, let's talk to God this morning. Come on, adults, let's talk to God this morning. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Would you come down this morning and touch me, oh God? Would you let that river of living water begin to flow out of my belly? Oh God. Could I hear you say that you love me? And I'll make it through the kitchen. I'll make it back to the kitchen. I just want to hear you say, "Well done. I love you. It's going to be all right." Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.